Good evening, ladies. Well, we are in chapter 7 of the book, and we are in the second part of that chapter, not giving the enemy a seat at our table. And we do that so easily in our mind, and the things that we let roll around in this mind of ours. We're going to jump in at the place where we have got to. The first thing that we have to do is really see the lie, identify the lie. Our thoughts are rolling, 10,000 plus in the course of a day. And so many of those are untrue. So many of those are, they're a lie, if you will. And we're just rolling that stuff around in there. Now, the first step, of course, is identify any deceptive thought in your mind. Sounds pretty basic, I know, but you have to recognize it for the harmful lie that it is. You have to. It is far too easy to coddle those thoughts that enter our mind. We do that. We coddle them. We're far too agreeable with our thought life. Far too agreeable with it. It goes like this. We don't think that by the thoughts that we are thinking, we don't think we're hurting anybody but us. Those are our thoughts. So we don't see what kind of damage that's doing. We just think, oh, that's not, that's okay. It isn't okay. It is not okay. And in fact, actually, what will happen is the truth of the matter, in fact, is that those lies, those thoughts, those things rolling around in your head that are lies, they don't affect only you. You know who else they affect? They affect the loved ones in your life. They affect the coworkers in your life. They affect the people that are in your immediate space, because those lies that you believe, those lies that you let roll around in your head, determine certain actions and behaviors that you take that can have quite a negative impact on the people around you, for the good or for the bad. I don't mean to say that they're all bad, because they're not, but they're certainly not all good. They're certainly not all good. So we need to lose the thought that this isn't affecting anybody but us. We got to lose that thought, because it does. It does. And here's the thing. Here's a thought. Okay. I am having a stressful moment. I am trying to process some stuff that just happened in my life. And so then the next thing I want to do is, I want to grab a bite of this. I want to grab a bite of that. I want to, that's what I want to do, is that will make me feel better. If I do that, it will make me, it will comfort food, they call it, but it will make me feel better if I do that. Or if someone has been harsh with you, someone has, said some things that are unkind at the very least, okay, we can have a tendency to coddle that thought, pamper that thought, and justify our anger, our frustration with that situation, and take that out on sometimes them, sometimes others around us. And we feel justified in that. We feel justified in that because we were the one that was wronged first. And so this is how it goes. Life is just really hard right now. So I kind of deserve that. I just I deserve that little bit of a shopping trip, or I deserve that extra little glass of wine, or I deserve. This is so very often what we are doing with those thoughts. We're going to feel horrible after we've caved and after we've given in and we've, you know, either medicated it or we've done any number of those things. You know why we're going to feel terrible? Because it didn't fix anything. And you got up the next day and guess what? You were still feeling like it. You were still not over it. You're still not over it because you didn't do the right thing with it. You didn't do the right thing with it. You're still nursing it. Do not nurture or nurse your hurt. Don't do it. This will go badly for you. This goes badly for us. It starts to affect us. And truth is, the enemy has sat down at your table. That is what he has done when we start doing that. So we do need to shout a big no to those harmful thoughts. We need to shout a big no. Harmful thoughts have to be identified for the lies that they are. We have to examine them and we have to say, listen, thought, before you pitch a tent in my mind and take up residence, okay, I got to take a good long look at you, because you know something? I don't think that agrees with the word of God, actually. I don't think that thought agrees with the word of God. And if it is not compatible with what God says, then get it out. Get it out. Oftentimes, these thoughts come on the heels of us caving in and giving in to those harmful thoughts. I am never going to get past this. I'm pathetic. This is what I always do. This is what I always do. Here I am again. I am pathetic. Okay. So what you do is you see that for what it is. You ask yourself, where did that thought come from? Where did that thought come from? Did it come from God? Did that thought, I'm pathetic, did that come from God? Does that line up with what God says in the Bible? No, it does not. Does my Heavenly Father think I'm pathetic? No, he does not. Our Heavenly Father is a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He leads us to green pastures. He restores our soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Does that sound like somebody that would call you pathetic? And in Colossians 3:12, it says, I am called holy and dearly loved. So it is certainly not God who is calling me pathetic. And if it's not God, I know right away that it is the voice of the enemy, and we need not to entertain that thought. We need not to entertain that thought. Secondly, the thing that we have to do, the next step, is bind the thought in Jesus' name. Bind the thought in Jesus' name. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. Wow. Every thought. Over 10,000 of them a day. Every thought. But you do that one at a time. This is how you start winning this battle. One at a time. Take one. And when you take something captive, you arrest it, just like a police officer would. You arrest it, you seize it by legal authority, you put it into custody, you put handcuffs on it, and you forcibly detain it. You take it captive so that it will be stopped from hurting you or anyone else around you. That's what we do. Now, we say that we bind these thoughts are bound in Jesus' name. We bind them in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ. I take this thought captive because you have commanded me to, and I am going to use that power that is available to me because of the Holy Spirit, and with that power, I will live in agreement with you. This thought is taken captive. This thought holds no power over me. No power. This thought is out of here. That thought is carted off to jail. Carted off to jail. Why is it, okay, that we specifically pray or rebuke Satan in Jesus' name? I'll tell you why. Because the power doesn't come from you. It's the power does not come from you. The power to really dispose of and take care of that thought, guess what? That doesn't come from you. That power comes from Jesus. That power comes from the precious blood that he spilled on that cross for you and I to walk in wholeness and freedom. Wow. Okay. But that power comes from him. In Jude, verse 9, it is the archangel Michael, and he is contending with the devil, and these are the words that he uses. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. It means that he was acknowledging that Jesus has the power to do just that, to do just that. So you're calling on him to do it. I think so often we get a little bit, we get a little bit confused here, and we're the ones that's trying to do it, and we're trying to do it in our strength, and we're trying to do it in our flesh, and that actually isn't gonna work. That's actually not gonna work. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He doesn't have to go anywhere. I am reminded of the story. I'm reminded of the story, and it was one of them in the New Testament that was casting this demon out of an individual. And this is what the demon said back. I know Paul, and I know this Jesus of whom you speak, but who are you? This is someone that was trying to do it in themselves. You can't do that in yourself. You can't do that in yourself. So sometimes we can get a little carried away with, stop, get out of here, go away. We have to reframe that, and we have to call on the name of Jesus and his power, and in his name we rebuke the enemy from our thoughts. In his name, the one who has the power to change all of that, the that one. So seriously, the enemy will challenge you if you are walking in your flesh trying to do the things of God, but if you're walking in your flesh, you are not walking in that authority. You're just doing your thing. You're just trying to do it in yourself. So we need to get that down pat. The Lord rebuke you. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Okay? That, we have to get that, we got to get that solid. We have to get that solid. So when a questionable thought enters our mind, you ask yourself if that thought lines up with the righteous character of God, which is in scripture. And if it does not, then bind it in the name of Jesus. Speak that out loud, pray it in your mind to the Lord using specific and deliberate prayer to prohibit the thought from taking root in your mind. That's what we do. That's what we do. Your goal, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, as it points out, it is specifically to take that thought captive. Take it captive. Make it obedient to Christ. When a thought is obedient to Christ, it will either align with Christ or it is rejected by Christ, or it is rejected by him and by his teaching in Scripture. If a thought is not taken captive by you in Jesus' name, then that thought takes you captive. The tables get turned. That thought takes you captive. You will bind the thought, or the thought in time will bind you. I don't like that very much, but I do know it's true. I do know it's true. And all of a sudden, stuff you thought was harmless, you find out has got you bound. It's got you bound. It's got you in a prison of sorts. So we use the name of Jesus with authority, and we bind those thoughts that don't come from God and do not match the word of God. So again, what do? We take captive the thought and make it obedient to Christ. Catch those thoughts. Recognize them. Catch them. Recognize those thoughts. Grab them before they get out there and take control. In other words, own them before they own you. Own them before they own you. In Ephesians 4, 22 and 25, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on that new self, that one created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. What was Paul doing here? He was encouraging the Ephesian church to put off their old way of life. Put it off. And to be made new in the attitude of their minds. This truth extends to us and our thought life today. You see, in default mode, we will tend to follow our thoughts instead of leading our thoughts. We have a tendency to follow our thoughts instead of actually leading our thoughts. Honestly, it's just easier. I mean, who are we kidding? It's just easier if we do that much. And because our default thought process happens so naturally, so automatically, it takes deliberate intentionality and ownership of our thoughts to make sure that we're actually thinking in a healthy way, that we're actually thinking in a healthy way. Well, what created this default thought process in the first place? What did that? Okay, simply put, our past experiences. Our past experiences did that. Yes. The events that we've lived through, the responses and behaviors that we have seen modeled, and repeated exposure to circumstances all play a primary role in how we now think in our present moment. For most of us, the biggest factor is our family of origin. It's our family of origin, the way we grew up, the family we grew up in, and the way they interacted with us. So much of what we think and believe about ourselves and about life comes from our default patterns of thinking that we developed from childhood. For example, take this thought that, though not intentionally, it is a thought that you picked up on in your childhood, And it was this: I have to be good. I have to be doing this perfectly to be loved. I have to do this. I have to accomplish. I have to be doing this. And why? Because a parent, because someone in your space, that's how they made you feel. It isn't necessarily what they said, although sometimes it is. It does get said. That's sad. But mostly it's how they made you feel. And so if I do this, then it's you trying to earn their love, and it's you trying to do that. Such a dangerous default, such a dangerous default, because you want to know what? Because you're going to try to always earn God's love. You're going to always try to be good enough. You're going to always try to not sin more. You're going to always try to do the things, you know, in order to have his love. And I will remind you that it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him shall have everlasting life. He died on that cross while we were still sinners. He didn't wait until we were, you know, all recovered from that. He did it in our very sin-driven state. He loved us that much and went to the cross. So see how a default like that is going to affect you in your present, time. It's just gonna do that. It's gonna do that. And thoughts of, you know, they would call it now, they call it OCD, but thoughts of perfectionism, it's another common default that will happen. If you couldn't do it perfectly, then you felt like it wasn't worth doing. If you, because it was like you couldn't satisfy them. If you, you know, if you did it, they were always pointing out the error of it. And that's what sunk in there. And then what do you do? How do you behave now? Now you behave like, if I can't do this right, then I just won't do it at all. Then I just won't. And you start retreating inside yourself, and you don't step out there and attempt anything new because you're too afraid that you can't do it right. It's a default. It's not a healthy default, obviously, but most of our defaults are actually not very healthy. They come from the way we perceived those things that happened to us and imprinted on us at a very, you know, at a very young and impressionable age. Some of it may have been intentional, but most of it did not. Most of it was not. But sadly, we picked it up, whether it was intentional or not. We picked it up. So unintentionally or not, those harmful and untrue beliefs get integrated into our thought lives. And then they affect, now, not only us, right? They affect those around us. I always said this growing up. I just really disliked my mom's finger. Did not like that. She was always pointing. Anyway. Always pointing out that which was not good, that I, you know, I didn't get the finger if I was doing it good or if I was doing it right. So I never liked that little finger. And I always said, wow, when I have kids, I will tell you something. I will not do this. I will not do this because that did not have a good effect on me, right? Okay. And one day, I was unhappy with something that had happened with the girls. And I saw my finger, and I saw my finger, and I went, oh my gosh, that's the thing I said I was never gonna do. And, you know, and I very quickly retreated it back, you know, but that's it. That's the thing. We'll do it. It was done to us, and we'll now do it. We mimic those behaviors, those things, whether we wish that we did or not. We do that. So, not a good thing. It made me mindful of that, and it made me conscious of that, and it started making me work on, nope, not going there. But I didn't know yet that in order to really make it go away, you had to, you know, rebuke the thought in Jesus' name. So, you know, I just was trying it myself, and, you know, that just doesn't always work out. Usually doesn't work out. So here it is. You already know this. We've said it many times, but our thoughts lead to feelings, which then lead to behaviors. Okay. And we take action on them. Not good. It's just the way it's set up. But it all did start with a thought. Harmful or harmless. It all starts with a thought. But this is also where the real change begins, because it will take intentionality, intention on your part to recognize the thoughts that are actually on replay in your mind. The ones that are on replay, just like I do with a worship song that I want in my head. I just hit replay. I just tell Alexa, do it again. Repeat. I do it over and over and over again. Okay. So recognize the thoughts that are on replay. These are your potentially more damaging thoughts. Okay. If you're replaying scripture, that's not damaging. If you're replaying worship music, that's not damaging. But some of your thoughts that are on replay are little by little just continuing to rob you. They've created a pattern, and they are robbing you. They have you imprisoned. You don't bind the thought binds you. It holds you in prison. So learn to intentionally recognize the thoughts that are on replay in your mind. And you know what? Change the playlist to something better. Change the playlist to something better, something healthier, something true, something healthier, something true. So here's where we're going to spend some time now over these next couple weeks, recognizing your default ways of thinking and replacing them with truth. That's what we're going to do. But this is not a once and done process. I only wish it were. Wow, do I ever wish it were. Okay, but it is not. It took years to develop your current playlist, the things that are stuck on repeat in your thoughts. It took years to develop that. So you must expect that it will take some time, and it will take some energy and intentionality on your part. It's going to take some work. I guess let's just call it that, because it's really going to take some work. It really is on your part to create a new playlist. But little by little, one thought at a time, this new way of thinking will actually become your norm. It will actually replace playlist. It will actually replace something stuck on the default. We'll actually do that. You will learn to change your default. And before you know it, you will be owning your thoughts rather than your thoughts owning you. Rather than your thoughts owning you. Okay, so first, what did we do? We identified the harmful thought, right? That was the first thing that we're doing. Identify the lie, identify the harmful thought. Second, what did you do? You took it captive in Jesus' name. And what did you do? You rebuked it in the name of Jesus, okay? Because it's his power that has, that is going to change it, his power, okay? But thirdly, here's what you're gonna do. It's something I call the law of replacement. You now are, you've identified it, you have bound it in Jesus' name, okay? And now comes the law of replacement. You need now to focus and change the narrative of your story. That's our part. That's the third thing. And how are you going to do that? You're going to do that with scripture. You are literally going to do that with scripture. That's what is going to work. Okay, so you need to know it. You need to memorize it. You need to repeat it often. You need to replay it in your mind. You need to say it again and again. You need to exchange the law of replacement. You need to exchange the deceptive thoughts for the thoughts of truth, for the thoughts of truth, and scripture is truth. You familiarize yourself with what the Bible says, and then you repeat it over and over and over. You do that, okay? And it is so that you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the truth is. What the truth is. The worksheets that I gave you some weeks back, okay, identify the thing and then identify the lie, identify the thing that you have believed, the thought that you have believed that is unhealthy and harmful, and find its corresponding scripture, and you say it again and again. You write it, you say it, you post it on your mirror, in on your phone, however you will have access to it. This is the process. This is the process. Okay? If you want victory in this area, if you want victory, then you got to get ready to fight. You actually got to get ready to fight. You do. And if you're not ready to fight, then you're not going to win this part of the battle. Okay? You're not going to win this part of the battle. And if you lose the battle for your mind, you're done. You're defeated. The enemy has won. And he is really parked at your table. And he is laughing it up. He is living that up. So you start winning the battle for your mind. Write it out. Write it on index cards. Write it on whatever works for you. But writing, reading, saying, combine all of those things. Do as much of that as you can do. Sometimes I change them out, you know, but my mirror, because guess what you have to do every single morning? What do you have to do? You got to look in that mirror. You got to brush your teeth. You got to comb your hair. You got to, you know, use a curling iron. You got to do things, you know? So lining my mirror are scripture, the truth of who I am, in Christ. That's what you do. That's what you do, because that's the first thing that you need to be looking at. You know, this is who I am. This is who I am. All right. That's what we do. And instead of letting yourself off the hook and saying, I simply do not have the time to do that, think of the things that you're making time for in the course of your day. Seriously, really, you have time. You have time. Make time to do these simple things that will cause you to have it right there. I have a prayer app on my phone. So if I put a scripture in there, if I add that and I put that scripture in there, then I can go down to the bottom of the app and I can set a reminder, and it will do a little ding. It will do a little ding throughout the course of my day. I can set it for any time I want, and it will go ding. And I try very hard not to desensitize myself to the ding, because if I look at that, when I hear the ding, I have that scripture right there. I have it right there. And I will tell you, those things are timely. Those things are, oh, wow, yeah, I needed that. I really needed that. Here's just an example of how real and very personal your amazing God is. Just how very real. I have Bible study on Tuesday mornings. So I hopped out of the shower, you know, ready to greet my day and ready to go in. And I will tell you, it was a comedy of errors. Just everything from every single angle just kind of kept coming. And they were not big things. They were not big things. But they were in my head, and it just kept coming. It just kept coming. And I said, okay, we gotta do something about this, like now. We gotta, about that time, ding. Okay. I looked at that scripture, and that scripture said, the Lord your God goes before you. That was awesome. And I just calmed right down. Okay, I am going to trust that you will do that very thing then, God, because this right now, this isn't going well. Okay. And this is really not going well. So it gets better. So that was my ding. Okay. And I had that. And then I thought, okay, the very best thing I can do right now is play the word. I'll do my YouVersion and I'll play the word of the day. I'll put that on there. Oh, well, you're never going to believe what the word of the day was. Oh my goodness. It was the same scripture. The Lord, your God, goes before you. And I went, oh yes. And then, so I'm like, okay, then I will trust you to do just that, God. You go before me. I will trust you, because I feel like I am going in ill-prepared, not on point. My head is not seem in the game. I don't feel like I was so tempted to say, not feeling well this morning, ladies. You're not having Bible study. I was right there. But that was two reminders that God was going to go before me, that God was going before me. And I had just a very few minutes, before they would get there, I had a few minutes. I went to the bathroom And I have a devotional that I read every day, you know, and so I pulled it up. And I know that you're going to find this very shocking, but there was my verse again. Okay, you couldn't have planned these things if you had tried. I could never have planned those things, but God lined them up to let me know, I got you. I'm going before you. You don't have to worry about this. I got this. And it was pretty powerful Bible study because he was the one doing it, not me. And it was pretty awesome, actually, to get to sit in that seat and just watch him go. Just watch him go. You know what? The things got hit that needed to get hit. Yeah. So go God. Go God. That's what he does. And that's what he does best. But seriously, he could not have done any one of those things. He could not have reassured me. He could not have encouraged me. He could not have done those things if I didn't open up my Bible app, if I didn't listen to the ding on my phone, if I didn't pursue it and read my devotional. I had to do some things, or else I would have gone in and I would have done the study, but I would have done it in me. I would not have done it in the power of the Holy Spirit and with his anointing. And instead, I got to do it that way. But it takes some intentionality on your part. The Bible is not going to fly off your nightstand and into your hands and go, here, this is what you do. You do this, okay? It's not really going to do that. You have to actually exert some effort here. You have to do it. He'll do the rest. I couldn't have arranged that if I had tried. And all I could do was praise him and thank him and say, wow, God, go. It was awesome, actually. It's very awesome when he does it. Okay, so it's how you change. It's the law of replacement. You have to replace. You don't just rebuke the thought in Jesus' name and I replace it. You have to replace. You have to replace because remember, these things are a pattern. These things are, they're the direction that your thoughts go, and they're used to doing it. They're very used to doing it. So you have to get used to doing something different. And that's what you do. You choose to fill your mind with God's truth over and over and over again, and you will start winning this battle for your mind. You will. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this. It tells you to store up God's word in your heart so that you might not sin against him. There it is. Okay. Joshua 1:8 tells you never to let God's word depart from you. You are to meditate on it all the time. How about Colossians 3:16? You are to let God's word dwell in you richly. In Matthew 4:4, it says that you are to live by God's word like it is food for your very life, like it is sustenance, like it is food. It feeds you. Hebrews 4:12. It describes God's word as being living and active. It's not some bunch of dead words. It is living. It is active. It has the power to do what needs to be done in your life. John 15:7, you are to let God's word abide in you. Deuteronomy 18:11-18-20 encourages you to put scripture in your heart, in your mind, writing it on your hands and your foreheads, teaching it to your children, talking about it at home, when you're away, thinking through scripture, when you lie down and when you get up. Psalm 19:7, says that you are to dwell on scripture because it helps restore your soul. It will help restore your soul. And Psalm 119, verse 32, it encourages you to run in the pathways of God's commands, for he is who sets your heart free. He is who sets your heart free. It needs to be listened to. Scripture will keep you from sinning, Psalm 119, 11. It will help you overcome worry, Philippians 4, 6. It will establish your faith. It will help you mature in the Lord, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It will help you discover God's good and perfect will for your life, Romans 12, 2. And when you fill your mind with scripture, you, most importantly, get to control the playlist of your mind. Most importantly, you get to do that. You actually get to be the DJ of your own thoughts. I really like that, actually. I really like that. You know, you go to a wedding, they have a DJ. You go to something, they've got a DJ. They control that entire playlist, okay? They control that entire playlist. I'm gonna tell you somebody that wants to control your playlist, and it is the enemy of your soul. He wants to control the playlist, and it is time for you to step up and be the DJ of your own thoughts. Don't let him. Don't let him control your, don't. Okay. Learn to play offense. Learn to play offense with your thought life. And that simply means this, okay? We let our thoughts, the thought comes in and we respond to the thought. That's us playing defense. We're on the defense because we've now entertained the thought, maybe coddled the thought, maybe done any number of things with the thought, but that's us on the defense. We're on the defense. It is time for us to step up and take the offense. Step up and take the offense. It's like this. It's so easy when you even start this process. Trust me, the enemy is going to be right there to take you back into the old playlist, the old pattern. He wants you back there. He had way more control over your thoughts when he was back there, when he's back there. So here's the deal. The children of Israel, all right, had been in slavery in Egypt for so many years, and they cried out to God to be delivered. And he heard their cry, and he did just that. He told Moses, lead him out. I'm gonna deliver him. I am gonna deliver him. And he did. And he parted the Red Sea at flood stage, no small deal. Parted the Red Sea, wall of water, both sides. Let him walk through on dry ground. And then he just did one better than that. He let all the Egyptians come in after them. And the second that the last Israelite climbed up the bank, he resumed the water, and the waters took out all of the ones that were after them. I mean, wow. It was an amazing miracle for them to get on the other side, okay? And get this, God provided manna for them to eat. He supplied their food, every meal. It was supplied, right? By him, heavenly food, right? And then they start to grumble, and they start to remember their former life. They start to remember their former life. And in Numbers, it says, Numbers 11, okay, they actually dreamed of returning to Egypt. By the way, hello, that was slavery there, okay. They sat around complaining about the manna, the perfect food that God had provided for them in the wilderness. And instead of going forward in victory, they remembered with fondness. They coddled. Fondness. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic of Egypt. Hello. Really? Okay. So here's a little refresher course for you. Little refresher course on that. They were slaves in Egypt. And before you start getting stars in your eyes and thinking, wow, cucumbers and leeks and, you know, and all of these wonderful things, that was not the bounty that they received. You know what they got? They got the scraps. They got the leftovers. Yeah, onions, leeks, onions. Yes, they got, they did. But that was leftovers from the Egyptians. But they looked back fondly because it's what they knew. It's what they knew. And it was easier to look back and long for something that they knew rather than be afraid of taking that next step into the unknown. Take the next step into the unknown. He led them by a pillar of fire at night and by a cloud that shaded the sun from them during the day. They were not on their own. But you see, what is so easy to go back, run on autopilot, go back to the default, because that's easy, because that does not require anything of you. That does not require, that's gonna come very natural. That's gonna come natural. And so it's gonna be really easy to slip back into that, really easy to slip back into that. And that's what we gotta fight. That's what we gotta fight. Every time a pattern of thought that is harmful to us comes, we gotta say no. No, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Identify it as harmful. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Go. And then you start bringing in the worship song. You start bringing in the truth of the scripture. You start bringing it in. Bring it into your place. Philippians 4:8 offers us a different way to think. It doesn't give us so much a step-by-step guide as kind of a compass. It doesn't tell us specifically what to think, all right, but it offers categories to think about. And it's how you can play offense. It's how you're going to play offense with this verse. Okay, are you ready? You're going to play offense instead of playing defense with the harmful thoughts that come your way. It's where you're going to take action. Okay, so when I say Philippians 4:8, I am in the verse, you know it already. What? Think on these things. Whatsoever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Think on these things. Okay, that's Philippians 4:8, right? So go through the categories. Just go through the categories. I started doing this as I was studying this out for this lesson. I started doing this. It's actually very powerful. It's actually crazy powerful. Okay, so I had asked God for me to recognize quicker a harmful thought, you know, or a pattern that gets replayed in my thought process frequently. You know, this is not healthy or good for me. Okay, so I asked to recognize it, and then I went immediately to the first one. Is that true? I have to think on the truth. Is that true? Well, no, as a matter of fact, it isn't true. And it helped me to do that. And so I asked myself that every single time, all day long. I spent the whole day on truth. I didn't get to the next one. I didn't get to noble that day. I didn't get to right that day. I didn't. I just stayed in true. In fact, actually, I stayed there for a few days. It was crazy amazing because it had me stopping. Is that true? Is that what God says is true? Well, no, it's not. So I guess I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke that thought because it is not true. And I replaced it with the truth of what he says. Whoa, it's pretty awesome, actually. It's a quicker way to arrest your thoughts and get them. Whoa. I wish I could tell you that there were less of them the next day, you know, or whatever, and there really weren't. But I was doing it different. And remember how you're going to win this battle? You are going to win this battle for your mind, one thought at a time. Lose the idea of that's too overwhelming. You cannot get overwhelmed with this process. One thought at a time, out they go. Out they go. That's how it will work. That's how you will win it. Okay, so I am going to read it. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified, Philippians 4:8, because it is exceptionally descriptive. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure, whatever is wholesome, whatever is lovely, and whatever brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good reputation, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. It is a powerful portion of scripture, but seriously, if you will look it up in the NIV and copy paste, do whatever you do, write it out. But in that version, because this is it, it is you centering your mind on them and implanting them in your heart. It's powerful. So very, very, very powerful. And we just have to grab hold. It's where we just have to grab hold. All right. Think about one category, one of those categories, if you want. It works. It absolutely, positively works. Change it to a different category the next day. Whatever, however you want to do it. That's up to you. That's up to you, but wow, it works. It is good stuff. It is good stuff. God made our brains. He made our brains, and he knows the best, the value and the importance of thinking about what is true, what is right, what is noble, he knows that, right? He knows it. It's not just a sweet, sentimental little verse. It is an incredibly big power verse for your thoughts. If you see the same stream or pattern of thinking coming back again and again, okay, it's where You get yourself to, this is true. Is this right? Is this, yeah. Does this honor God? Is this, you know, like that, okay? Like that, okay. There's a thing, and it's called, psychologists would call it frequency bias. And what it is when you see a repeated pattern of thought. This will happen, probably happens to you guys too, but like on, maybe on Sunday morning in worship, okay, there is a particular song, okay, maybe it's on the radio, you hear it on KSLT, whatever, but then that starts going around in your head, it just goes around and around and around in there. That is the way it's supposed to work. And that is the right thing to be rolling around and around and around in there. Okay. So frequency. And it's speaking, because it's speaking the truth in. It's speaking his word in. It's speaking victory in over whatever particular thing. So powerful thing to do. But it happens in the reverse as well. Okay, that's an example of it happening in a good way. But then it also happens in the reverse. Let's say that you were watching an episode of HDTV, and they were featuring colonial houses. Maybe that's what they were featuring on that particular episode, and you watched it, you saw it. Okay. All of a sudden, the next day, you're driving, you're on your way to work, you're on your way, you're doing something, and you go, oh, that's a colonial house. Oh, look at that. There's another one over there. Well, you know, those did not appear overnight. And all of a sudden, you don't have a bunch of colonial houses in your sphere of influence. Okay, they've always been there, but you didn't notice them until you saw that. And you now became aware. That's the power of your brain, this frequency bias. So when I say read it, write it, say it, speak it, sing it, whatever, I'm just saying do it, because that's what you need taking over. That's what you need taking over. So much going on around you in a 24-hour period of time. So much, all right? It's actually impossible for your brain to absorb it all, because it's too much. It's really too much. But when you will bring your attention, selective attention, to something, you will begin to take note of that. You will begin to take note of that. And your brain will tune into it. Your brain will tune into it. When I tell Alexa to repeat, because I need that in me. And I am, you know, I need it in me. And I want it in me. And so I do that. Here's an interesting thing, okay? She's a computer, I know, and I am well aware of this, but what happens when I tell her to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat, she will interrupt me sometimes, and she will say, did you want me to find you more music like this? Oh, how absolutely funny is that, you know? Would you like me to find you more music like this? Yes. Or I've repeated it so often, I didn't even have to tell her to repeat. She just does repeat. And that just makes me happy. That makes my heart happy when that happens, because it's like, awesome. That's okay. Yep, that's okay. So, see, even a computer can be reprogrammed by the frequency with which you keep coming at it. You keep coming at it. So, here's the deal. When it comes to our thoughts, you have to pay attention. Are there any patterns that emerge? Thoughts that do you have a train of thought that goes around in there? Okay. What themes do you tend to default to again and again? And you have to know this. God permits you to change the pattern. He permits you to change the pattern. We have the power and control to choose the thoughts that we will tune into and roll around in our head throughout the day. God knows our tendencies to default to the negative. So what we have to do is make it a habit, a daily practice to tune into that which is true, that which is good, that which is noble, that which is right. We have to do that throughout our day. Increase our awareness of the right thoughts. And you won't just be defaulting to these mindless thoughts anymore. You won't change the patterns, but you have to stop and take note of them, good or bad, so that you can begin to change the way you're thinking. You've got to recognize the patterns if you want to replace the patterns. And when you do that, you will literally change everything in your life, because it all does begin in the thoughts, because it all begins here. We don't think that it does, but it all does. That's where it starts. So, in other words, we change everything. We literally change everything. By changing that, we change everything. So, I really, really, really liked this. It's in your books, but I actually made copies of this, because I want you to actually have a copy of it. And for those of you that are savvy on those little phones of yours, I actually went through and put it on my phone as well. But it's where on Monday, my God knows my name. He knows my name. My name. My God knows my name. And then the verse is Isaiah 43:1. Israelites, descendants of Jacob, the Lord created you, and he made you who you are. Now he says this to you: do not be afraid. I have rescued you. You belong to me. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. That's a wow. That's a Monday. That's what you let ruminate in there all day Monday. That's what you do all day Monday. And on Tuesday, okay, it is this: my God goes before me. My Bible study was on Tuesday, so it started here. My God goes before me. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Deuteronomy 31:8. My God goes before me. My God. Say it, say it, say it, say it over and over and over throughout the day. Say it on Wednesday. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. And then I've got the scripture. And on Thursday, my present suffering pales in comparison to my future glory. That's on Thursdays. On Friday, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And the verse that goes with it. Will weapons be formed against you? Yes. Will the enemy mean to take you out with them? Yes. Will they prosper? No. No, they do not have to. They do not have to at all. Saturday, I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. And Sunday, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, lives in me. Such a powerful thing. So I will be passing those out. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to identify the harmful thoughts. We are going to rebuke them in Jesus' name. Thirdly, we are going to replace them. We are going to replace them with his word, the truth of his word. We're going to think, is that true? Is that true? Is that noble? Is that right? Is that pure? Is that lovely? Answer is no. Out it goes. Out it goes in Jesus' name. But out it goes. We can't forget that part. We cannot forget that part. So you've got your marching orders for the next 2 weeks. It is definitely something I want you to practice. It is something I want you to put in there. I want you to grab hold, and start one at a time getting them out. One at a time. Speak to them. Get them out. Out, 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 out. Out they go. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. All right, I'm going to close this in prayer. And Father, we come before you, Lord. We ask for your powerful and precious Holy Spirit to lead our thoughts. Father, help us to lead our thoughts, not follow our thoughts. Put us on the offense, not the defense, where we're scrambling and subject to those thoughts that are negative and not healthy. God, that we may replace with your precious word, that we will rebuke in your powerful name, God, that we will begin to win this battle of our minds. Precious Father, I pray that you will equip, empower these precious ladies to do just that. Because when we do that, everything else changes, and we will walk in the freedom that you so costly gave up your life for on that cross. We will walk in it. We will not be defeated by the enemy. He will go back to the pit from where he came. And not that he will not raise his head from time to time, because he will, but we will send him back where he belongs. And we will walk in your power, your freedom, and in all that you have for us. Precious, precious Jesus, we pray this.